big crowd.
Oh, but this has more
That
space.
it I don't know, actually. On my Google alert, there would have to be like some kind of admin stuff. Jessica, are you good?
Yep.
Okay. It's 5:05 p.m. and I'm gonna call the meeting to order. I am standing in for Malia. I don't remember why, but she can't make it today.
Oh no.
Yeah. I think she's good though. I don't think anything is
Rough. She'll
rough.
be my prayers to me.
How do I start the roll call? Do I just say roll call?
Yeah.
Okay. Would like to start the roll call.
Ooh.
Francine Achen.
Here.
Samantha Bloom. Nicholas Brennan.
Present.
David Brown. Tyler Dixon.
That was on Zoom, I believe.
Catherine Farrell.
Here.
Elise Forcier.
Here.
Andy Garcia Ortiz. Elizabeth Gatz.
Here.
Gimeyer.
Yep.
Kedrick Linsky.
Here.
Bridget Hayes.
Here.
Michelle Heaney.
Here.
Kizar Joffrey.
Here.
Shrikant Kumar Karaikal.
Here. Yeah, I am here online.
Ocean Kareem.
Hi.
Anurag Quayada. Ava Lagressa.
Here.
Jesse Lopez.
Here.
Xander Lynch. Salman Matan.
Here.
Anika McGraw.
Here.
Drew Parekh. Bhavin Patel. Baswati Sarma. Seem Sepp.
Here.
Georgia Smiths.
Here.
Rajvi Thakur.
Yes.
Vera Ye.
Here.
And Malia Matthews is not here. 23.
Okay. So, next, I'll do a call for any late additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we can move into approval of the January 22nd meeting minutes. Those are all attached in the two pages in the back of the two pamphlets. So I was able to this meeting, but if other people could check and review that they were accurate. Then I would accept a motion to approve. Get a second.
Second.
Okay. January 22nd meeting comes through. Next, we're going to move into the business of the day, which, oops, I have January place. We're good on that. Resolution 5, which is the GPSA-FC guidelines. So we're not going to vote on this today because David's not here and it's his motion. But there was also an amendment submitted by Xander. So do you want to give a brief overview of the amendment that you wanted to add to it for discussion?
We discussed last time about the potential addition of a amendment that in a similar fashion to Resolution 5 made field groups exempt from the campus group membership totals in order to maintain or move their funding tier, Um,
this be a separate resolution?
yeah, I think this was supposed to be a separate resolution, or at least that's how I wrote it.
Okay.
But I sent it to Malia because I thought she was going to be here.
Okay. So I can see, did you put it on box? Oh, ocean?
Because the resolution that we're passing is in regards to like the resolution, the amendment that we have going on, and the amendment that Sanders is trying to introduce are essentially the same thing just for two different groups, then wouldn't it make much more sense to combine the two together? Right? So that we would then vote on the amendment that Alexander would like to introduce into the main resolution and then pass the resolution if we pass that amendment. Because if we do two separate resolutions, then that's going to just backlog a lot of activity overall.
Yeah, so maybe that can be part of the discussion in breakout groups today is how we see this best fitting in, given the fact that neither of them has been voted on yet, and they can be merged at this stage because neither of them has been voted on yet. And I think maybe because of that, we should plan to vote next meeting on this. Because you're not supposed to vote, it's not a hard rule, but you're not supposed to vote on a motion that is amended or a resolution that is amended in the today. And then further discussion on funding of Cornell Cinema. I don't know how much this got discussed last week, but Cornell Cinema got back to us with estimates, and it looks like they're willing to keep their request at $10,000 budget from GTSA, but in actuality, to be able to get their system set up, they would need actually closer to $17,000, which they're not requesting from us, but it would mean that they wouldn't have the timeline to provide the services that they said that they would to us, which was that they were willing to do reduced showings and free showings for a certain number of years out after receiving the. It's like an outdoor screen plus all the equipment they need to set up an outdoor screen for summertime showings. So maybe we can discuss how people feel about potentially giving them more money or what it might mean if we do just give them the amount that they requested and then wait till they are able to find the additional funds. Yeah, so then I think with that, we can move out into breakout sessions by field. So the way that this works is depending on which school you're housed under, you're going to meet with different groups and you discuss the business of the day, which in our case is these potential FC guidelines amendments and this funding of Cornell Cinema.
Point of information or
Yeah.
inquiry before breaking off. Was there any movement on getting us access to see the current funding tiers and the scope of clubs that we currently fund? Kind of contextualize Sanders' amendment.
Yeah, so my understanding is that Xander got some insight on that.
So the only thing that I got was an email from Jessica saying six clubs received field funding, which was part of how I was thinking the amendment might like denote who is in the exempt group. But like that six is obviously not representative of all the clubs that would actually be exempt, because not every club applies for the field funding,
Right.
even though they are qualified for the field funding. And also, a further issue is that if we look at the GPSA FC guidelines, what a field organization that's qualified for a field funding is a question mark, really. Like there's no clear like it has so many members from the graduate field, or it has so much, like there's no way of denoting that. It's just kind of whatever GPSA FC like says is like approves, basically. So there's like issues that are not directly pertinent, like directly from my amendment or what we're trying to do, that might need correcting.
Yeah,
So,
but do you have any insight, Ethan?
as far as like how many groups would be eligible,
changing the algorithms. So we left the island on the conferences. So we,
for what a field is?
For what a field is, it's just one per conference, be it like one first per
program.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think based on the words of that, there's no way it's possible. Possibly that whole resolution of what the Senate, or just not, honestly, I don't think why is it even vote on it, right? If it's which not, would undermine the guidelines, frankly.
You want to give more insight on that?
Well, the rule is there so that we can allocate funds appropriately to students, so we don't have a group of like four students getting like thousands of dollars. Because it's not, we don't have unlimited funds, that's the problem. So that's the issue at hand. The reason, and I actually would limit the affinity group one to one step, so there'd be allowed one tier above how many students they have, currently have. So, but as far as like opening up the floodgates, it's just not going to happen. We don't have that type of funds, so we'll have to have some sort of balance, and that's what that is right now.
So, what is the possibility of the quantity of the group? Given that it's so loosely defined.
So field funding is just like, it's just like if you give it just a patient a GPSA, we will give you additional funding. And it has to be one per, so it has to be something very specific to that department. And we feel like that department needs that additional funding for.
So we already give field groups additional funding on top of their normal GPSA funding.
Yeah, so to give them additional funding on top of that additional funding doesn't make sense. That would just scrap field funding altogether. But even that wouldn't do much because field funding is not, like we said, we only gave six groups field funding last year, and it was 200 each or something like that. So it's just there to like kind of help out, but we can scrap that. I can go ahead and put on amendment for that. But I don't
okay.
know, it's just kind of there.
So maybe that's also something to loop into the discussion. This is how we feel about field funding. The fact that only six groups have utilized it and what this might imply at larger scale. Okay. But yeah, nothing's to be voted on today. Just to be discussed, and we will come back and discuss it as a group. And we can even talk more in open forum if this is something that people want to have like a larger debate about.
Just to add, all tiers are going up next year. So I don't know if anybody doesn't know that, but each tier amount is going to go up next year. So there's not much room in the budgets for that. And so like, just know that you are going to have more funding next year regardless. Even if you're at a lower tier, you would get very similar amount of funding. But that, the numbers as it is trying to like, we're trying to maximize how much we can get each group. And it just doesn't make any sense if a group with more students gets, you know, $5,000 in a group with like 100 students only gets 1,000 because we got rid of this rule.
Okay. So with that, I think we can break out into breakout sessions and discuss this further and talk about how we see this impacting each of our individual groups. So what we do is we break out by colleges. So I'm gonna go with like life sciences in the front corner. I don't remember all the other colleges. Do you remember any of them?
We'll take master's and professional students here.
Social sciences, physical sciences, arts and humanities.
Okay.
Arts and humanities to me.
Arts and humanities, social sciences, maybe physical sciences in the hallway.
Wow.
We'll also right here.
It's okay. I mean, I could go in the hallway with life sciences. It's okay.
Just have them here.
Yeah, we can do that too.
It's a big group.
Okay.
And don't forget your Zoom people.
Yes. So if one person from each section could have a Zoom open, that would be great. And if Zoom people, if there's no in-person person that corresponds to your group and you want to DM me, I'm also logged into Zoom, Michelle Heaney, she, they. Okay. Break out.
We don't Improvements that could be done. So as far as I know, if you don't know, you know that there is an economic structure by that. You do not know.
Oh, I
like we haven't been like provided the list to everyone. So I asked last time, I think it's that she's gonna work towards getting.
Yeah, the field.
I don't know who's in what tier. None of us do. It kind of makes it difficult to say what we how we want to change the site when we don't
have
it.
We don't know how like hubs that's funded per tier. Is there any
right, so you,
is the tier system solely based off of the chain?
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's like
now, so the tier. maybe people who feel like they have important takeaways from their different discussions give like a couple sentence recaps. I can give one for my group. So we talked about how it would be really important to understand the metrics of this. So how many groups are in the current tier system and at what funding and what tier funding they would be eligible for in the new system. So David's gonna pull together a slide that shows old versus new and the requirements for each. And then OSHA helped me find through campus groups, the list of current groups with which tiers. So people interested in organizing that and compiling that data, I'll connect you all with the current FC chair. So if you have that interest, come to me at the end of this meeting and give me your net ID so I can put you on that email. Solid? Okay. Any other big takeaways?
Another big takeaway is I'd like to, like, there were a couple of things that were mentioned, like scrapping the field funding tiers and adding a path to where the affinity groups can go. Like, I'd like to see that actually on the amendment because that's not here. If those are really things that are that we're like voting on or like are adding to. Also, on that slide that shows the different tiers, could we have some like additional demographic data, like on basically which fields those clubs are from, or like associated with?
So field funding, my current understanding is it's all voluntary response, and field boards are not required to have a name that is associated to their field. So I do not believe that that is possible. Like, for example, I know, I'm going to go with it's Plant Path, but I could be wrong. There's Synapsis. I know there's plant people in this room. It doesn't, the name is Synapsis, but it's a field org. But it's not like for example, I used to be the president of the Plant Biology Graduate Students Association, which is very much like, you know exactly where they're coming from because of the naming. So I think unless self-disclosed, we wouldn't have that information. And the only self-disclosed we have are the six that are from last year. Sorry about that. Yeah. Ocean?
When we get our hands on the whole tier chart and everything stuff, I can whip up some visual graphics to try to help out. It'll stop disclaimers like, oh yeah, these are some things that are omitted or things that don't fit in perfectly and stuff, but like I can whip that up and send it over.
Yeah.
Back, and then...
Would you mind giving a, like, maybe you and anyone else who's interested in organizing that I loop in through email?
Yeah.
Would you guys mind like maybe even a presentation either next meeting or the meeting after?
Yeah, sounds good. And it's just not, it's not going to be like anything that's like new. It's just taking the information that we've got and just making it more like visually understandable because that was a long list.
Yeah, it was just a big Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Apparently the sign-in sheet is not editable.
Oh, sorry. Let me change that.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Okay, the sign-in sheet should be fixed now. Sorry, guys on Zoom and everyone in the room. Yeah, just on that to me. Okay, Annika.
So our group talked about wanting to keep the affinity versus like field amendments separate, just because some of us agree one way versus the other. So that I think is important to talk about. I definitely think there will be some lively discussion when we end up to like voting on this. I think maybe people will feel more comfortable once the actual amendment is written and we have it and open up for discussion on a motion.
Yeah.
So, but that's just, I think that's important to mention.
And as our go-to Roberts Rules person, would you be potentially willing to organize that debate style through Roberts Rules?
Definitely.
Okay, I appreciate that. There you go. Okay, any... Oh,
motion. I just want to put it for the record that I only propose the combining of the resolutions just for time efficiency and stuff, but if there's like valid reasons why they shouldn't be, which I believe David has already mentioned some of them already, then, you know, that'd be cool. But I was just only proposing that it's just like maybe to put out there, but if there's legitimate reason, that's fine.
Okay. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Is there any more comments? No. Okay. Seeing that, we can move into reports of officers and committee updates. Executive committee, that's me. I put out a transportation survey, finally, to deal with all of that. We got a ton of responses, so I'm going to be trying to synthesize that data somehow. It looks like there is a lot of financial strain that people have from transportation, and then also there were some questions about safety and potentially a nighttime shuttle, given someone on that group's interests in reinstating a program that used to exist here at Cornell. So if anyone's also interested in that, come to me after the meeting, get my that ID. I can help share all that information with you. The survey is completely anonymous. So if you haven't filled it out yet, or if you have friends who haven't filled it out yet, nothing will come back to them unless they so choose to be contacted afterwards. Yeah, I think that's everything for me for now. Yeah. Operations?
Yeah. So working away on the bylaw revisions, nothing really new there. We will have the resolution kind of motion process follow Robert's rule of order. So before that, I will try to kind of throw together a little presentation so y'all know what we're doing, just so that we all are on the same page. And then, yeah, I have a topic to discuss, but that can wait till open.
Okay. Appropriations. Okay. Communications. Andy's not here. The newsletter went out, I think, either right when the semester started or the day before. And I think she's planning on doing biweekly newsletters. So if not bi month. So it's 5 weeks. So if you have anything that you want to share or any events you want to advertise, that goes out to the entire graduate and professional student body. So she's a great person to get for that. Finance, I don't think they're here.
I don't think so.
Student advocacy?
Here, no update.
Okay. Nice to have you. diversity and international students? I know Drew said he's sending a rep, but I don't know if they could make it to this meeting.
Hello?
Oh, yay. Hi.
Hi, my name is Kate Key. I'm the vice chair of DISC. So I'll be giving updates on behalf of Dhruv today. We will have our first meeting this week, precisely tomorrow, as we were giving in time for our teammates to settle in the semester. So we'll give more exact details in the next GPSA meeting. Regarding the budget, Dhruv has some potential points to discuss, which he will discuss in the exec committee meeting on Wednesday with you guys.
Awesome. Programming, Katie.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet everybody in person for the first time. Updates for that, we had our first meeting on Thursday. We have decided we're going to do a masquerade ball for the theme this year. We're going to get masquerade masks for everybody, so like that doesn't have to be an issue that you need to be concerned about. I just sent in a request for Barton Hall for April 27th, so it'll be like end of April, kind of around the same time as last year. Be from 7 to 12. I have somebody working on security, so they're just in contact with Cornell PD today, so I'll have updates on that hopefully by the next meeting. I have decorations going, so we've started planning that out. And we're going to be working with Cornell Catering again this year. Yeah.
Awesome. Graduate school, Jenna?
Nothing for the graduate school today.
Okay.
Thanks.
Seeing that, we can move into open forum. So I know Anika, would she have something?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I can, but I'll give you the time.
Yeah. I was curious if anybody's given thought to this body's potential participation in the newly created ESG committee from the Undergraduate Student Assembly. For those not in the loop, they basically just created a committee to offer the board recommendations about what Cornell should divest from, basically, if there are any unethical businesses or investments that we have. I feel that is something that graduate students should have input on. So I'd like to hear about like A, how that would work, if we would need to create like a sister committee and then communicate or send delegates to that committee, and B, just like what everyone thinks about that.
Yeah, so is this in response to the motions that have been forward by the undergraduate student body in the past week?
Yeah, specifically Resolution 50, which passed on Thursday.
Yeah, so I've been trying to reach out to some organizers from that, who I know at least two organizers from that group have my number, but I'm sure that doing all of that was a lot. So they haven't reached out yet to me, but I was interested in potentially paralleling some of their efforts. Jessica, you might know this better than I do, but I do understand, and this could be a wrong understanding, that if all of the assemblies pass a motion to divest, that the trustees must respond. Is this true?
Only with divestment, yes.
So, under that circumstance, I feel as though because that's an established method, that it makes a lot of sense for me to pursue getting a motion passed that parallels, and then if all bodies are able to do that, and I'm also in the university assembly, so that's another one of the assemblies. So there's the student, faculty, staff, graduate student, and university. Is that right? Okay, yeah. So if we can get it through university and graduate student assembly, then the undergrad, then we would just need to do staff and faculty. And then the trustees would have to give a response. So, like under that system, I'm inclined to do that, but I would like to hear responses.
Yeah, as far as I understand it, the proper, like straight up, we want to divest bill was voted down.
Yeah.
But the bill that did pass was to create a committee that would then just like offer recommendations. I would that would those recommendations, if the committee was like jointly staffed by members of every assembly, have the same power?
I don't think so.
Right. So it would have to, the committee would have to work on it and then send something back, and then each assembly would separately have to pass it.
Yeah. I do also wonder if Martha would I don't know how she would feel about it, but she also has the ability to deny motions. So she might defer that to the role of the student trustees.
Could you elaborate on that? I don't.
So she, if we send something to her, or it's something that requests a large systematic change, she must give a response. But often, if we, like, for example, if we pass the same resolution that they passed in the student assembly, and she gave them a response that said, no, I defer this responsibility to the student trustee, then she would probably give us the same exact paper back, only instead of saying undergraduate student trustee, it would be Dan. So that's my only concern there without having a response from her back yet. But at the same time, I don't see why not. Because it can take a while. Ocean?
So is the question on the table, just to be clear, if we want to create a sister committee similar to like what's the undergraduate student assembly is trying to propose, or that we want to send over delegates to the currently existing one that the undergraduate assembly wants to create?
I
Is
think
that what's we're talking about as well?
my impression is what is our role as a graduate student assembly on the idea of divestment? And where do we want to have space to have this? That's like my interpretation of it, but like other people, I'm only one person. So I feel like because there is a system to like have direct input onto the trustees, I'm under the impression that we follow that system, but I don't know if other people think that other methods would work better.
To my understanding, Resolution 51, the resolution that was created to divest, was solely based off of like one organization's proposal of it, which is why it was like mostly shut down because it incorporated as many voices as possible and stuff. Everyone has their own beliefs with the resolution itself, but that's what we can say with that. And then the committee was created to include as many voices as possible for there to be recommendations of divestment. And with there being many different voices coming over, it makes them less biased, quote unquote. And then with those recommendations, they would just send that over to the university assembly to then create a resolution to then make it passed and stuff. My thing is, if it was possible for us to simply just send in delegates to that very committee as well, so that we can all be on the same page and that we can also include more voices on it. And if we get other assemblies to also do that, that makes it a lot easier than instead of having our own different committees in our own separate spheres, and then we end up having a resolution that's just not consistent with each other. Because if we all have it on one committee, that just makes things easier. Because if it's true that if every single assembly passes a resolution that's of the same resolution, then the student trustees, then the trustees will have to follow it instead.
Only on divestment.
Only for divestment, but because the committee itself is about divestment, if we were to have consistent resolutions, then it just wouldn't work out.
Yeah, we don't need a resolution to staff committees. And no one needs a resolution to volunteer to work with that committee also. So if people in this room are interested and would like to, sounds like Gus, you have connections. So I would be more than happy to say we should go for it.
Yeah. So how does that work? We can just be like, hey guys, graduate student assembly sent me. I'm here to impact your decision making, or like how?
So I think it would be a conversation. There's a university assembly meeting tomorrow that I actually can't go to because I have an art show. But if someone else wanted to go on my behalf, I would be more than happy to have you go and speak to undergrads. I'm pretty sure it's in the same room. Starts at 4:45.
Can I give an update later? It will not be in this room. It's going to be in 700 Clark Hall, but can I talk about that meeting later?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go to a meeting apparently anyway, so I can stop
okay.
there as well.
Yeah. I would appreciate that, because usually so the chair of that committee is on the undergraduate student assembly, I believe, and then the president generally goes, and so does, I think, two or three other members of the student assembly. Yeah, and they're very nice. I've worked with them before.
Yeah.
So if anyone else, I guess, wants to be looped in, maybe connect with OSHA on, like, furthering that. And if anyone else is involved with any of the organizations that put forward the divestment movements, I would be interested in hearing from them. I'm sure they're all really busy, so I don't want to put too much pressure. But yeah.
I can take it upon myself to reach out and see what the process of us joining in would look like.
Yeah.
And we can also, I'm not like fully involved, but I'm familiar with the situation if you wanted to chat.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. I think also when it comes to resolution writing, it's really easy to have a lot of hands on the same document. You put it in Google Docs. I've done one before, so I was part of the OBGYN gynecologist in the Planned Parenthood vending machine resolutions that went through the university assembly. And I think that was like 20 or 30 people on the same Google Doc editing. So you don't have to have a lot of resolution background. It's just kind of like, sometimes it's grammar and reading and just basic things, or like most of your whereas clauses in your resolutions are just like, this is a reason why I think this is important. So if you can think of a reason that isn't currently listed there that it might be important, that's still a valid and valuable contribution. So don't feel discouraged just because it's a little scary looking, because I definitely felt that way when I first heard it. Okay. Are there any other comments on this or other things to talk about in the forum? Yeah.
Yeah, Gus, I would be interested as well. So if you want to like loop me in, or I can send an email, great. Another thing I wanted to bring up as we work on the bylaws is I wanted to open up discussion to potentially removing Zoom as an option for attendance for GPSA meetings and only allowing those that have sought accommodations by contacting me or whatever kind of process we go through, so that we can ensure that our representatives are coming, utilizing open forum, which is one of the main aspects of this meeting that we hardly ever actually dig into, and making sure that this assembly is actually producing meaningful work that will have a positive impact on the graduate and professional community. I lean, obviously, by bringing this up, or removing Zoom as an option and creating a procedure in which people can request accommodations, whether that be because they're sick or immunocompromised or they're at a different campus or whatever that may be, but that those individuals can work with I and the executive board. But I just kind of wanted to open up the floor to see how people feel about this, kind of what for, against, kind of how we all feel.
Just had like kind of a clarification question on that. So are you talking about just like actual voting members, or like, because at one point in the GPSA FC guidelines, if you were at a certain funding tier, you had to send a representative to this body and like attend a certain amount of the meetings. So like that could potentially still stay on Zoom because those people are kind of here for attendance.
So that's exactly the issue I want to tackle, is that they're attending this like meeting because we're giving them funding.
Yeah.
And the whole point of having a representative is to have them participate in the meeting. So most of our representatives join via Zoom. And the point of them being a representative is to actually discuss within their clubs what the issues that graduate students are facing are, to bring to us in open forum so that we can discuss it. But because of the nature of Zoom, we all know it, I don't need to beat around the bush, that's not a thing. People don't discuss, people don't share their opinions on Zoom. And the kind of lively engagement that the whole point of giving money to these clubs and making them have a representative like present is not happening. And so I would essentially be proposing, you know, in the bylaws when we do move forward with the revision process, is total removal with the clause about accommodations.
I'm very for that.
Okay. I somewhat agree with you on this stance as well. I just think that there's just a lot of can of worms that will be like seeping through if we were to pass something like this. If, for example, if the goal is to make sure that we have people participating more actively when it comes to like these GPSA meetings, how do we define participating? Because if it's something that like we need people to like, at least speak on an issue and stuff, a lot of the meetings that we're having are not necessarily like club related issues and stuff. So how can one really participate? That's one. Two, do as a governing body within Cornell, which is part of New York State, do we have to abide by the New York open meetings law policies as well? Because that's something which like governing entities would have to abide by in general, if it's like within the bylaws, where we would have to make sure that our meetings are open, accessible to anyone in the public. And who is the public is just defined by who is it that we're catering towards, which would be graduate students overall. So if we are to completely get rid of the Zoom, with the exception of those that have been pre-approved for accessibility things and stuff, would then that be a question of us restricting public access to our meetings? There's a few other things as well, but I don't want to take up everyone's time, but I just think that this would also be another discussion we need to have more about. I would still be somewhat in support of it. There would just be more things to tweak about and stuff. But I think those are things to like keep in mind as we talk further about it.
Yeah, you can go on.
Can I chime in just as a field member, not as a, I'm not a voting member, but I would say like, Zoom definitely helps because it's hard to plan experiments around a meeting at 5 p.m. on Mondays. I'm sure everyone else also has, you know, similar problems. I don't know. I like having Zoom access.
Yeah, I guess also as a non-voting member, like I'm based out of Geneva, and I know you're saying that there could be other accommodations, but having Zoom is nice. I mean, sometimes I'm not back at this time, and like, I don't know. It's just like, it's something else to add to my plate to have to like email every week to be like, hey, I might be in Geneva on Monday. I might need to be on Zoom. So just like, I don't know. I think it's, and like in another student org I was in, we were already having a really hard time finding someone to that was willing to like be a GPSA representative just because of this time. So I think like adding another barrier to that might discourage attendance.
Can I ask a follow-up question, Ebo?
Yeah.
If this time was pushed back later in the day, would that make it more accessible? Because we define our times every year, so we could change this.
I think for me, probably not, because like I have a family I want to get back to, but I don't know about other people.
Okay. Yeah. Did you still want to follow up?
Okay.
Yeah. Ocean? I mean, that's also another thing. I don't think like changing times would also like make it any easier For us, because it would just make it easier for some people, harder for others, and then we would just get back to same square root one issue and stuff. And I also wanted to get back to, again, the how you define participating, because to us as in person, we can actively see it, like, oh yeah, you're talking, you're like sitting down in a meeting and stuff, even if you're not like actively like saying anything, like what I'm doing right now and stuff, you're listening, you're hearing stuff. And that's what people on Zoom are doing as well, as we can see with two people already talking about, yeah, this time works for me and stuff. They know what the subject of this discussion is right now and stuff. We can't necessarily see them going to like meeting rooms and stuff, or they could just be like way on screen and stuff. I know in the previous meeting that one person was like, yeah, no, like I just like sit here, they just talk or whatever. But while that was a wild interaction, that's just one small instance out of like the many benefits that Zoom can provide. And I think that while approving things for people if they have like reasons makes sense, that also like puts us in a position of like, how do we define like whether this is a plausible reason or not? So I think there's like many things we need to like put guidelines of before we can like confidently say that we're putting this in.
Yeah, so that's the point of bringing it up at open forum, is to bring up these discussions so that those aspects are kind of touched on when that final language is written. But just to kind of talk my reasoning and the committee's reasoning behind this with the points that were brought up so far. Participation, we all know, and everyone in this room right now is paying attention to what I'm saying. I have no idea if any of the people except the two that spoke are paying attention on Zoom. I hope so. I'm really like fingers crossed, but I have rarely ever seen people actually take part in meaningful discussion from Zoom. And I have been involved in this organization for almost 2 years. That I think is a big aspect of it. I totally get what Ava said about being in a different campus, which is why I previously mentioned an accommodation plan would totally take that into consideration. We all have lives. I get it. I don't like coming here every single, you know, every other Monday at 5 p.m. until 6:30, but I do it because it's my job. And if this is something you're going to sign up for, then it's important to make sure it fits into your schedule. At the same time, I understand that it could be annoying to have to send emails or accommodation requests or whatever. So something that I thought of immediately when Ava brought up their concern is that we could have a semester-long accommodation system, something like that procedurally. So there are a lot of open options here, but I do think, and I mean, I would love to hear any kind of counters to this, but I think we all experienced what it was like to go through the pandemic, constantly staring at a blank screen in which no one was responding to you. And I personally put a lot of time and effort into this position and into this assembly. And I really would like to ensure that people in our community is getting out of it what they should be really getting out of it, i.e. advocacy, having lively discussion like open forum, making sure that we have our representatives actually paying attention for the purpose of this organization. So all those things will be taken into account. Of course, at the end of the day, it's up to the assembly. The assembly votes on these bylaw revisions. It's not something that I'm just gonna do because I want to. You can go ahead and read in the bylaws the whole procedure on that. And there will be a lot of things that we'll wanna talk about as the revision process starts. But as I said, I just wanted to bring this up so that I could begin to gather that feedback.
Okay, I didn't see all the hands go up. So I'm gonna start with Nicholas and then Gus and then you.
Yeah, kind of seconding on Annika's point, I would like to call attention to the fact that this is a finite-sized group. There are not infinite numbers of seats, and from my own division, I've noticed that there are people who are available at this time to be here in person and would like to contribute, unable to make it here. And to be on this body, from my perspective, is not to serve my own interest of participating, but to kind of represent a larger voice. And I think Zoom, for all its good and bad, does significantly hamper the ability of a representative to convey those perspectives from a remote standing. Not to say that accommodations can't be made in special circumstances, but I think that there's a lot to be gained for our respective constituencies.
Gus, do you still want to say something? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. I would just say that like self-governance is kind of fucking annoying. Like that's just how it is. Like if we want the graduate student assembly to just be a place where we approve byline funding, then we should all pack up and hire a manager and go home. But like this, having an open forum and talking about where we want our university's money going, like whether or not we think, I don't know, the Cornell Cinema is a valuable cultural institution. Like, that's what we're actually here for. We can blow through the resolutions, but, like, we're here to talk. And that's the sacrifice of democracy, you know? Like, I mean, that sounds a little grandiose for a graduate student assembly, but like, it is a little annoying. And I would argue that like checking onto Zoom and sitting on your phone for 2 hours is both annoying and not valuable, as opposed to annoying and valuable, which showing up and like talking to people and engaging in the self-governance of this body of students is both. So yeah, I'm in support. I would say, like, Zoom.
Sorry, I don't remember your name.
I think just adding people to the meeting wouldn't work. So I believe the format of this meeting would also have to change considerably, because the way I see it, if which is not to counter your point, but to say that when people who are not voting members are here, I think the best, you know, the first takeaway of them is to learn how things work rather than giving useful feedback. It might happen, of course, but I don't think that's happening a lot. So if your goal is to increase participation or to make, you know, a more meaningful self-governing body, which is perfectly fine, I think the format here would either have to change, or we would have to have multiple meetings, I guess, that will kind of climax at this meeting in which different people will come and talk. Because otherwise, I think it would be just people coming here and listening and then going back, which might be fine, but it wouldn't accomplish the goal, I guess, to set out to
That's
achieve.
Part of the goal, though. That's the brain.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
So the role of field members, just to interject here as a point of clarification, is meant to be to listen and take that back to your field about what GPSA is talking about and what is relevant there. And we do get a large amount of our membership from, so I did this my first year I was here. I was the field member and I came to all the meetings and I really didn't understand what was happening. And then the next year I was asked to be on the e-board, and then from there I've been on the e-board. So I do think a big part of it is adjusting to learning on how to see what's going on and then bringing that back to your individual fields. So I'm going to go because there's people on Zoom, and it looks like Salman, sorry if I mispronounced your name,
yeah.
Had your hand up first, and then I'm going to go on this side, and then I'm going to jump back to Katarina.
Actually, I think Katarina raised her hand before. Anyway.
Before us? Okay, yeah. So then I'll do Salman, Katarina, then you guys, sorry. Go okay. For it, Salman.
I mean, Katrina, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Would I go or I wait for Katrina?
Yeah.
You go.
Okay, thank you. I'm a voting member, but for today I had a couldn't show up because I was kind of sick. I would suggest if we try to take the Zoom out, we should just only for voting members to show up in person. If they can't show up in person, they wouldn't be on Zoom for personal reason or other any reasons, they should show their faces. That wouldn't bother me. I can show my face. But those should be, you know, considered. As a student, sometimes you might have family problems, sometimes you might have personal problem, or you might have like experimental problem that you have to do experiment for the day, and sometimes you might not even finish your experiment, and in the middle of the day at 5 p.m. you have to show up for the GPSA meeting. It might restrict your options. So I would say we should keep Zoom meeting, and if you want to make some restrictions, we only should consider for only voting members or also some field members too, you know, so we can see their faces. By the way, this is my first time, I think, being on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. Katrina?
Yeah, I would just say, again, I came to meetings last year as well. And as a non-voting member, I think showing up and being able to take back what I learned from these meetings, for example, like the student fee is going to, you know, increase, or you know, now we have a theme for the gala, like things like this, I take back to people. And if I can't log in on Zoom, I feel like attendance is just going to be like non-existent. I agreed to, you know, come into these meetings, you know, not only because it's, you know, field funding, there's like a certain requirement, I think 50% or something, but because I actually like to listen. And that's why I keep going to these. And I think Zoom is just more convenient.
Okay.
Francine had her.
Francine. Oh, I know there isn't really like an exact way to quantify like participation, but I'm really curious on like the level of participation and like involvement and attendance to these meetings pre-Zoom as like a comparison level to the way it is now. Like,
do you mean pre-COVID?
Yeah, like before Zoom, like what was kind of the level of involvement in GPSA?
Yeah, so I don't predate COVID, but I do have friends. I have one friend who's a professor now in the stats department who was a member of this assembly prior. And my understanding is that involvement was much better, and that this was generally in all groups across campus. And that Zoom actually, my understanding is that was not an option at all prior to COVID. Am I correct, Jessica?
It just wasn't that one.
It was always an option in my experience.
Yeah.
Even before I was on the EA.
Okay.
In the UA, there was always a Zoom option, but there weren't many people on it. Most people came in.
Okay. And then for historic precedents, I guess I'll also name that it was either my first year or my second year. I've only been here for 3 years for like context of when it could have happened. There was a poll by the president at the time, so he pulled the Zoom link and people got very upset. But I think that this was a much less considered action than what Annika is proposing.
It was close to like end of pandemic times too.
So yeah, it was right as the university started lifting restrictions. And it was kind of without, it wasn't a bylaw change. It was a unilateral decision of the president of that time. And it had such negative feedback due to immunocompromised people, people in Geneva, people in the tech campus, that we went back to the hybrid format. I guess as a research scientist who also is a member of this body, I do understand and have empathy towards the idea that if your experiment fails, you might want to start again. But also, if I know I have this meeting, I don't start the experiment again, which means I'm here later, I'm here on more weekends, I'm here doing a lot of those things. So I don't know where the answer lies in that one either, because I don't want to say that you have to come in on weekends to do your experiment, but I also, maybe that means that this body is not a priority of yours. I don't know. Ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I think you also brought up a lot of many great points, especially with the question on like priorities and everything stuff. Like for you, because especially like you're in a higher e-board position and stuff, quote unquote, you have a lot more things at stake if you were to not show up or if you were to like show up in like other things and stuff. But I forgot your name again. I'm so sorry.
Huh? Ali.
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 Ali. Okay. Ali. Thank you. You also brought up a point in which I was trying to articulate, but I couldn't get the right words and stuff. GPSA overall is very voter member centric, like without any other words to speak. It's very much more focused on us and stuff. And again, to the point about like participation and stuff, how we define it, because if field members are simply there at the bare core, simply just to hear, coming here to simply listen and then just relay back and everything and stuff, then of course participation is going to be like really hard, especially for those that are going to be on Zoom, because people on Zoom, if the majority of them are non-voting members, then they're simply going to be here to listen as they do other priorities of work, whether it be taking care of their home or whether it be their research and everything and stuff. It makes a lot of sense if their main operative is not to participate by actively talking, but rather to listen and stuff. So I think we just need a lot more metrics on how do we determine, define participation, how many people here and otherwise are voting members, non-voting members, and what are the overall priorities of GPSA assembly meetings in contrast to if there's any other mediums in which information can be relayed. We have meeting minutes like available to the public almost every day as well. And there's many other avenues in which like people can get information and stuff. But if the main idea is to simply make sure that GPSA is more participant oriented, then we do need to restructure to make it so that our structure is without penalizing others. Because as much as like we want to have participation and stuff, it's really hard and annoying, as Gus mentioned, to just simply like log in on Zoom with your phone and stuff and then be there to sit to listen when you have other things to do. If anything, if you didn't care as much, you wouldn't be in the Zoom period. But they're there right now. So they clearly do care. So having an option or just getting rid of the Zoom option and restricting it to only those that quote unquote need it would just be detrimental to the main objective. I'm so sorry for rambling.
Xander.
I just have a question kind of off of Roshan's point. So like, so is there an like a number of like field representatives that we are should be expecting every week? Like, is it like 3 times the size of the current amount of people that come, or like
yeah,
what
so
percentages?
The field members, even for the highest funding tier, my understanding is that it might be 50% of the meetings that they have to attend, plus have a representative that serves on the finance commission. That's current bylaw state. So if you guessed all the fields at tier 4 funding and then multiplied that by like half the number of our meetings, that should even number of field representatives that come averaged over this, like obviously average that over the meetings, and then you get that over the semester. Theoretically, they could all show up on the same meeting days and all not show up on the same meeting days, but the likelihood of that is very low. I don't think space would be a huge problem, because if we counted the number of people currently on Zoom, there are people double logged in from here and there. Like, I think that we could accommodate, and we have in the past, have bigger rooms. That being said, we would always have some people in Geneva. We will always have some people in the tech campus, and they, like, I don't think we should make them drive here. So they would probably always have the Zoom option. Yeah. Ava?
Yeah, just like one other thing I think is that a lot of student orgs do advertise this as something that you can come on Zoom or in person. And I think that if the Zoom option leaves, then I don't know. I think there might be some turnover in student orgs of people that are like, well, like I have my family to get home to, or like I have to go pick up my kids. I need to go like get home for this, that were previously on Zoom that might not be able to make these in-person meetings. And I know that there will be accommodations, but I don't know. I just think that Zoom is really useful. And I think, like, I understand that it's frustrating not having people being as active as they could be. But, like, I just am, like, worried about how that might affect, like, other orgs. Like, I'm in a couple other student, like, orgs and, like, whatever. And people I know are, like, reliant on it being on Zoom. But they don't really have a reason for that. It's just that they usually leave the lab around 5 and then they're at home taking the call. So I don't know, I'm just curious how restructuring might work within orgs if that happens.
I mean, just to add on, I think fundamentally this is also communicates this antiquated notion of physical presence being equivalent to paying attention, which is not clearly not the case. Like, everyone who's here is also not talking. So I think that's I think that is not valid to say that people who are on Zoom are not paying attention. That's firstly, but also as someone who's who's representing a field and is a non-voting member, oftentimes if I'm going back from lab, I can just tune into Zoom and take notes simultaneously, which is something that I would not be able to do if I have to attend in person. So I disagree with this point of view that it would be better for this to be a mandated, if you want to make it a mandated requirement, do so for people who actually have a vote and can change things. But for the rest of us who don't have a vote and can only as such communicate, we can do the same by typing in a Zoom chat as much as we can just do by speaking, because there's nothing else that we can do.
Potentially another option that I just thought of, sorry to interrupt you guys, is that, because I have noticed this, so I've been the one doing attendance for both the past semester and this semester, which is normally the finance chair's job. A lot of people sign in and then dip off Zoom, which is disappointing. And it happens every single time I post the link. So potentially it could be that we make people sign in after the meeting is adjourned. I don't know if that would increase participation, but it would mean that they would have to stay till the end. Gus, then Xander.
Yeah, I agree with your point that physical presence does not equal engagement. Because I've had Zoom classes that were like super intense and everyone was talking and everyone had the screen on, and lecture halls where no one was paying attention and everyone was shopping and, like, you know. So we might be misconstruing like signifier and concept a little bit here. So I don't know, like, why do you show up to meetings and like engage? It's usually because they're talking about something you care about. I don't know. There are probably a lot of ways to increase engagement. Like, I don't, maybe we just need to bring up more shit that actually matters. But also, I do think the split shift is difficult. If everyone was on Zoom, that would be one thing. If everyone was in person, that would be one thing. But when there's like this disconnect and like you don't really, I don't know, it's hard to bridge that gap sometimes.
You've got 2 minutes left.
Okay. Can we get a motion to extend the meeting? I'm gonna let whoever does the motion define the amount of time they think it's prudent. Feel free to show them.
I move to extend this meeting by 8 more minutes.
Okay.
Seconded.
Okay, the meeting now ends at 6:38. Xander, Annika, and then Katrina.
I just also had a question about the GPSA FC members. Are they actually attending what they're supposed to be doing? Like the ones from the high tier groups that are supposed to be being part of the GPSA FC?
Yeah. Well, okay, so with the shift, yes, they had to. So they were given tasks and jobs, but under the new system, I think that we are questioning a lot of what the role of an FC is, or not an FC, but the commissioners, because everything's changed so much. That being said, I have been discussing potentially having people who are doing work on disk instead be qualified for the fourth tier instead of finance, if finance turns into a much smaller committee because of these changes that we've made. So that's still up in the air, I would say. And overall, that's a byline change, which again, if you're interested in getting involved in that, Annika's your girl. She needs help. Help her.
So, just based on the guideline change, there's only like 3 people on GPSAFC, which is me, Dalton, and Adam. Those are the only
It's
three.
also me and Malia, technically.
What
Yeah.
was that?
No, we're it's the campus group's registration because I'm vice. You have to have a vice president, president, and finance officer. So they are the finance officer, the president on or off, right?
Yeah,
And
so.
then I am vice president, and Malia is president. So technically, we are that. With the way that it's registered on campus groups, we're members.
Oh, yeah, you're members,
Yeah.
but yeah.
Sorry, Katrina and then Annika.
I just have a question. Is there a way when you do break out into like the different rooms to have messages just be for that breakout room? I feel like that might get more engagement.
I thought they were.
No, it shows up, it says to everyone.
Look at the
We could do a little test and
Okay.
see. I'm not that great with Zoom, but
Yeah,
I can try.
I feel like that might be like, especially because I've been in different breakout rooms where like I don't have access to the person who's physically in the room. And then so yeah, it is just like a few of us that's like, what's going on? And then the messages will only go to everyone versus like that breakout room. I feel like that might give more engagement, just on a Zoom perspective.
I like that idea. Thank you, Annika.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for your feedback. It's super helpful in kind of helping us determine like where and how to move forward with the bylaw revisions. Just something I wanted to mention before we close up the discussion, that the GPSA's whole purpose before the pandemic, and it's still written this way in our charter, was to bring people together to talk about issues that are directly affecting graduate and professional students. For 3 years, 3.5 years now since the pandemic and since everything went on Zoom, that was no longer a thing. Essentially, so there are so many aspects of our bylaws that we don't even really follow, i.e. Robert's Rules of Order, parliamentary procedure, and open forum for a really long time has just been something that we go, okay, open forum, no one says anything, we close a meeting. We don't talk about anything that's important and actually needing to like advocate for the community. So I get it. I might seem like the bad guy because I don't want to do Zoom anymore, and I'm totally fine with looking that way. But it's all in the name of actually making this mean something. And I would hope that that people on Zoom are participating. I haven't seen it, and I've been at every single meeting since I've taken on my roles. So I just want to say, like, that is the point of this. It's not to be annoying. It's not to make it inconvenient. It's not to make it any way. It's to actually continue to follow the goals set out in the charter. Now, with that, attendance and the voting member versus non-voting member distinction was something I heard a lot at this meeting. So that's something that I'll bring back to the committee, which is only me and one other person. So if you are really passionate about this, me, Nick, if you're really passionate, join us. But we will discuss kind of maybe a way moving forward that can draw between that distinction, you know, and if that's something that the assembly sees fit, then happy to do it.
What time are those meetings and where? Also, what is the meeting?
It's the operations committee.
Okay.
And if you're interested, you can let me know because we changed the position.
Oh, okay.
Oh, someone also said in the chat, sorry, you can go right after I say this. I've been in breakout rooms where I've wanted to participate, but the group is too small to have an engaging discussion. So potentially putting all the people on Zoom in smaller, but like more even breakout rooms instead of doing it by sections. And someone replied to that. It got 3 thumbs up and they replied. Definitely something where we can discuss that in a group and not the whole assembly.
Damn, they're having their own conversations.
Yeah. Now it's 5 thumbs up. Okay.
Yeah. And I've also, like, every time I've attended Zoom, there's also been, like, issues because sometimes I'll go into a breakout room and physical sciences does not have as many people as, let's say, life sciences. So most of the times that I've been in breakout rooms, the person who's physically present has not turned their audio on. So I just cannot listen to what's happening. They haven't turned their video on. So, like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what the video is on. So maybe a solution other than the voting, non-voting is that maybe we can use Zoom better rather than just totally remove it. And
I would also be interested just from my own perspective of, like, I had a really hard time engaging when I first started here because I didn't understand what was happening. And I feel like this is a pretty common feeling of, like, this is a little overwhelming. There's so many things on this agenda. Like, where do I even start to speak? Where do I get a voice? So potentially, like, making those things a little bit more clear might help. I don't know.
That's something that the committee is really trying to work on, is making sure that the bylaws and the way we run our meetings are following some kind of outlined, like, previously used rules. So that's something I remember when I first started in the this organization, is being familiar with Robert's rules from my previous background, but then being confused because those were not things we were following through on. We're kind of doing this weird mismatched thing. And so hopefully the revisions we put forth and training next year's e-board in Robert's rules will be something that can really help people who are just starting get more easily involved. Yeah.
May I?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I just wanted to, again, echo a lot of the points. Again, as a non-voting member, I have limited say in what actually goes on. But I do think that broadly, in terms of having the most amount of participation from everyone, things have to change. It's not necessarily the best way right now to maximize engagement as it is set up. Because again, there are potentially technical issues that could facilitate that, or the breakout room things takes too much time, or we don't have a proper agenda in terms of all of these things could theoretically contribute. So if we wanted, as a actual organization, to maximize the good that we do or the discussions that we have, I think there are underlying issues that need to be addressed aside from just Zoom yes or no, but just my two cents.
Does anyone else have any final thoughts? Oh, Ocean.
I move to extend this meeting by 5 more minutes.
Okay. Did we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Bridget.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it might be useful to try to collect some feedback from members about the barriers that they're experiencing when it comes to trying to participate. To sort of bring it, you know, that Zoom probably is part of the problem. I think I agree with you on that, especially Zoom without your camera on can be a problem. But I also, the comment about, you know, having it be difficult to try to figure out where to step in, or, you know, do I actually know what's going on, or I think there's like a lot of other causes that could be contributing to the objective of improving participation that would be worth looking into, and maybe trying to solicit feedback from everyone with like a Google form or something could be one way to start.
I like that idea. Thank you. Okay, are there any more comments, thoughts, questions? OSHA?
Before we end open agenda, I think you had something you want to talk about the University Center?
Yeah, but if you all are done.
Okay. I guess we're done.
Okay, Jessica, University Assembly.
Yes, so I just want to point out that tomorrow night, the University Assembly is meeting 4:45 to 6:15, I believe. There will be in 700 Clark Hall. But the reason I'm specifically bringing it up is that council will be attending the University Assembly meeting and talking about the two new interim policies, one on expressive activity and one on anti-doxing. There's also a link. Oh, I should have pulled it up. There's also a link on the assembly website to give feedback, but I think it would be really great if you're available to attend either by Zoom or in person and hear what the university has to say about these two policies.
I can send out two because I got forwarded an email about that to the people who are on the listserv. And if you're not on the listserv and you want to be, also come give me your net ID. I think to the survey, I can send that out, right? And the policy survey.
So I'll let you do what you keep going.
Yeah. I'll look through it. At the minimum, you'll all get the policies. The maximum, it'll be everything else also.
Yeah.
Ocean.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to join in on the University Assembly meeting, you can just come over. I can put in your email. You can get the Google Calendar invite that has the Zoom link and the room number itself. So that could be that as well.
Okay. Seeing no one else active for discussion, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Seconded.
Yeah. Okay, I call the meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you all for hanging out late.